The rest of the story. They were either campus demonstrations or student riots. There had been widespread objections among the student body to certain members of the faculty. In previous weeks, there had been loud, drunken, Animal House-style partying in the dorms. The most recent episode was so wild that the ordinarily permissive administrators of the university actually suspended two of the rowdiest celebrants. The other students promptly petitioned for the reinstatement of those two, and the university just as promptly complied, but the young, undisciplined muscles had only begun to flex. Friday night, September 30, one of the students urinated in a bottle and heaved it through a window in one of the pavilions. A professor named Long was inside at the time, narrowly escaped injury. Staring out through the shattered pane into the darkness, he could hear profanity being shouted at him. However, he could not identify the voice. The next night, 14 students wearing masks assembled on the university grounds began a noisy demonstration. First to hear the racket and investigate were Professors Tucker and Emmett. When they arrived on the scene, they were greeted by vulgar insults. Then one of the students picked up a stick and charged Professor Tucker. Another student threw a rock, another a brick. The professors were not seriously hurt, but again, none of the assailants was identified. Next day, the faculty adopted an emergency resolution, insisting on the establishment of a campus police force. Otherwise, they vowed to resign en masse. Two faculty members actually did resign that morning, fearing that nothing could abate the escalating violence. As they hurriedly left the campus, yet another student protest was brewing, and alone behind his desk sat the university president, feeling bewildered, betrayed, not by the students, but by his own misguided faith in their ability to govern themselves. He had not foreseen the consequences of such idealism, and now the entire school was paying for it. But no more. No more. Monday, October 3, the student body was summoned to appear before the governing board. The university president spoke. He asked for the names of those who had rioted on Saturday night. They must be punished, he said. He called what had occurred one of the most painful events of his life, and then he sought to explain the failure of his ideals to the assembly. And then, suddenly overcome with emotion, he began to weep. And but for that soft, pathetic sound, partly muffled by the hands in which the old man's face was buried, there was in that hall complete silence, and the student unrest ended that day, and the names of the violent demonstrators were presented to the administration by the ashamed culprits themselves. The main instigator, Wilson Miles Carey, was the university president's own grandnephew. History books teach us that our forefathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty. Liberty. But self-government requires self-discipline. Some of those founding patriots lived to doubt the efficacy of human autonomy. For you see, among those present at the assembly on the first Monday of October 1825 were former U.S. presidents Madison and Monroe, hearing the forlorn confessions of the president of the University of Virginia, an 82-year-old educator who in those brief months before his death was just beginning to wonder what on earth he had brought into the world. You remember him as author of the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson. Only now you know the rest of the story.